On today's program, we celebrate some anniversary. I don't even know which one.
Eons.
Seven?
Six?
Is it? I don't know.
We've been on the air for a long time.
Sure. And, one year.
1 year. One finally. The baby new year. Whatever it is, it's the We Hate Movies anniversary show. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Eric Siska.
Chris Gavin.
And we hate movies. Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in to the program. As always, like we said up top, it's the We Hate Movies anniversary show. We started at some point around now, back in the year of our Lord 2010, and we're still on the air. We're happy that you're still with us or just finding us. And we thought, hey, what better way?
You know, I think I'm still kind of just finding myself.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah,
this is a self-searching podcast.
Soul searching.
It's, it's eat.
As opposed to Eat, Pray, Love, yeah. A book that came out 5 years ago and a movie that came out 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, so we decided what better way to celebrate the anniversary than talk about what I deem, at least, another We Love Movie situation. This is 1993's Demolition Man, directed by Marco Brambilla. You may know him as the director of Excess Baggage, probably not.
The auteur behind Excess Baggage.
What a horseshit.
Stupid fucking Benicio.
So you base your writings on auteur theory because you are a film critic.
Yes.
And on Excess Baggage?
Yes. I believe it is a masterwork of garbage.
I don't believe in the auteur theory, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
I am also a film truther.
Wow.
Okay.
We're here to talk about this movie, which, for anyone who doesn't remember this classic, Steve Sadek, what are we talking about here?
It's a 1993 action sci-fi romp.
With
Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes get frozen, and then they come back in the future, and the future's full of all these sissy Marys that don't have any guns.
What?
No, they ain't got no guns.
That's the whole theory of this movie is that we've become a pussified society.
Mollycoddled, I'd call it.
Because there's no guns. Guns are in museums.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
As is, sexual intercourse. That's out the window.
should be a sexual intercourse. I mean, there are sexual intercourse in museums, but,
Yeah, I mean, are there? There are, right?
Yeah, there's the museum of sex downtown. Why I have to fucking see posters for that every day
I
of my life.
Find a museum of sex in my own house. What do I need to go to a museum?
What, your external hard drive?
Uh-oh.
Eric through the ages.
Uh-oh.
Into the terabyte. Go deeper into the terabyte.
It's like an interactive museum, and you're like swimming through the code. Looking at all
swimming
the...
through the code, indeed.
Your lawnmower man, Pierce Brosnan, is just like, Eric, you got to get out of here. Eric, you got to get out of there. It's going to swallow you whole.
I don't know how you...
Oh, it's going to swallow him whole, all right.
That is actually the only film I masturbate to. Lawnmower Man.
Oh, it's that Fahey action,
yeah,
right?
Oh, man, yeah, I'm fucking Fahey'd out, at least for this day.
So we start in the near future of 1996. That's creepy.
Oh, man, imagine that. Those days, the good old days.
I like how they're like, it would be crazy. It would be great. As we're in Clinton's first term, it would be crazy to know what Clinton's second term looked like. It's like there's literally no difference.
But the difference is the Hollywood sign is on fire.
Oh, yeah.
In this timeline.
Yeah.
Because it's like LA's a war zone, and here comes Sylvester Stallone to fucking save the day.
And they say that, you can't land aircrafts in LA anymore. Yeah. Commercial flights can't land there anymore
because the city is just that much on fire.
But we already have this cryo jail thing set up.
That is amazing. Like, think about the science involved in just 3 years from this move. Like, that's a tight schedule and. The cost. What does it cost to freeze a person?
The culture, it just doesn't make any sense. cryo jail at the same time that Eagle Eye Cherry is burning up the charts. I just don't correlate.
That's a great point.
That's a world I want to live in.
Sylvester Stallone has to come. Oh, I don't know. Huxley was just safe tonight. This is pretty damn good.
Right. The break of dawn, come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone, save tonight.
Oh, no, is that Simon Phoenix? Sorry, I got to stop this karaoke.
But, like, you need it to be a thing where it's like, okay, there's a new test technology, experimental technology.
You're the fucking first one
to do it. Not like it's the same as throwing them in the slammer.
Or, I mean, start your movie in 2025 or 2030 and then go 70 years from
because then the rest of the movie might even make a little bit of sense.
No, okay.
Because the nearer the near future is, the more terrifying.
Oh, I see.
And urgent the message is.
Do you guys remember in 1996 when we were everyone in the country was like, "Oh my God, today's the day that Stallone cryo froze in Demolition Man."
Were we counting down stuff back then? Because I feel that's a product of the internet.
The only way you could do that was to mail a zine to somebody, and they're like, "What the hell am I gonna do with this zine?"
Yeah, you need a BuzzFeed to do that, I think, or some a meme even.
Man, I'm glad that Back to the Future 2 day is come and gone, because I was getting sick and tired of idiots falling for that.
What are you talking about? Today's the day.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Idiots falling for that.
I mean, Demolition, you know, by the time, what are we, 50? And, like, we'll still be on Facebook because we'll be losers. And it'll be like, ah, today's the day Demolition Man happened, and I'll fucking throw up.
Nobody's counting down Demolition Man.
Somebody will.
We have to. If we're doing all that other shit.
So, because August 2036?
32, I think.
16 more years.
Wasn't it 2046?
2032.
No, that's a Wong Kar Wai movie. Yes.
Oh, boy.
what a fucking flub. Art house flub.
Stallone jumps into this war zone.
And let me tell you about this bungee jump. This is a classic case of we're making a movie for the year 1993. You better believe that's a stuntman jumping out of a helicopter.
Absolutely.
No computer to be found there. Thank you very much.
And on the top of the docket of, like, so he's getting flown to this war zone by Grandel Bush and some other guy.
Oh, man, I wish he was getting blown.
Oh, wow, that was Grandel Bush?
It was.
Die Hard's Grandel Bush?
A young Zachary Lamb, who we'll meet a little later in the movie.
Oh, right.
Yeah. The first thing, like, okay, anybody here is, my idea is to bungee down onto the fiery roof of this dilapidated building, and then I'm gonna get Simon that way.
Yeah, yeah, just me.
Yeah, just me. First thing, I'd be like, no, you're not doing that. We're going to land somewhere, and you're going to get out. That is how this is going to happen.
I don't want your death on my hands. Also, his last words, he's in this doing this perilous thing, is feeding! Which is like, if I hate you so much, I don't want my last word to be Phoenix.
Well, I think it's so, like, when he dies on impact and just he keeps going straight to hell, he's still yelling down to hell for his mortal enemy.
The Phoenix!
If he were to hit one of the corners of this building, he wants his last words on this earth to be his mortal enemy.
He should have at least hit, like, a goose. Like a Canadian goose.
So
in LA?
Sure. Hey, it's the not-too-distant future. Things are a little crazy.
Yeah, that's right. Who knows what those geese were up to?
Fucking geese, man. Ever since Phoenix took over, it's nothing but geese. Simon Phoenix and his fucking geese gang.
Oh, so am I the only one who's seen a lot more hedgehogs around here?
Raccoons during the daytime? I don't know what's going on. Fucking Phoenix, man. Guys got control of all the animals.
Cats and dogs living together.
So he goes in, and apparently Simon Phoenix has hijacked a bus full of 30 passengers, and Stallone's trying to get him.
Wouldn't it be great if it was 57 passengers?
Oh, that would be great.
Just saying.
They can't go below 55 miles an hour.
And all of a sudden, they all started getting really uncomfortably racist out of nowhere. Like passenger 57?
Yeah, and then ends in a carnival for some reason. Like passenger 57.
It's how
movie set on a plane ends at a carnival.
Sure.
It ties that and Child's Play 3 together.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why it makes an intelligent double feature.
Is it Is this the first appearance of Sir Wesley Snipes on this podcast? I think so.
Is it possible?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah. Quite possibly.
It might be, actually.
He is a treasure. I love me some Wesley Snipes. I mean, sure. 90s yeah. Wesley Snipes. I mean, I don't know what he's
Not
doing.
Like
he's...
Post went to jail for tax fraud yeah. Wesley Snipes.
I think it ends around Blade 2.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the last
time. Certainly
doesn't
carry over to Blade 3.
No, not at all. Is that his last great movie?
I think
Blade
it is.
2? It certainly wasn't that Gallo Walkers movie.
No, or that...
you remember that, Chris Cabin? He was like a cowboy vampire hunter.
Oh, that's fun.
That's like five of his movies. But like also, like, what's... Like, he was in that one of the the third Expendables?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
He was awful in that.
He was like in a drama there, Brooklyn's Finest or something.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what he's really good in?
Isn't that an Antoine Fuqua movie?
Very well might be.
You know what he's really good in? Chirac.
Oh, that's right. He is excellent in Chirac.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So he's still got. He's just great. I mean, like he always acted better than most of the Hollywood tough guys because he's just literally a better actor.
Yeah, he got kicked out of our alma mater.
That's right,
Purchase College.
But he's also. I mean, he's a black belt. Like he's actually a fighter, and he knows how to do that stuff.
That's what you forget about Wesley Snipes, though. And I forgot about it watching this movie. He starts legit kicking ass, and I'm like. Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Well, did you read the Tribune about this?
Oh, no, shit. I missed it.
About how he had to slow... He's so good at it, he had to slow down his kicks because it was blurry on the camera.
Are you kidding me?
So he had to, like, very, like, okay, Stallone, here we go. Here's it coming.
Make sure I win this fight, though. It's very important to me.
And he's still in pretty good shape.
Oh, yeah.
Compare him to other black belts like Steven Seagal.
Oh, yeah. Fucking dough belt.
Well, he's not eating ham Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and onward.
Well, he's trying to find himself. Eat, eat, eat.
What is with the character design of Simon Phoenix?
We're having fun.
Because he's got a Meteor Man gang haircut. Yeah, whatever the gang from Meteor Man was, you remember all those folks?
Yeah.
So, weren't they run by Don Cheadle?
They might have, or Don Cheadle was in them.
Wasn't James Earl Jones farting around?
He's
in that
his neighbor.
Moment? Oh, yeah, I don't remember. But blonde, like high and tight kind of thing. It looks terrible.
There's a rumor that Dennis Rodman did start dyeing his hair after this movie came out, and they think it's because he liked this movie so much.
That's fucking funny.
That is funny. Wow.
But then he's also got these like denim overalls.
Yeah.
He looks ridiculous through all of this movie.
He's kind of just the Joker. If you close your, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like he is That's true. And I think Wesley Snipes would have done an awesome Joker, actually.
Can you fucking believe that they hired a black guy to play the Joker? Mom, get in here.
I'm definitely only seeing this movie twice.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
That's it. I'm only buying the special edition Blu-ray. I'm not buying the combo pack. They're not going to get shit out of me. Nice try. I'm not going to fucking fall for your ultraviolet download, you fascist.
That's a medium popcorn, no butter.
Yeah, butter. Put a little hole in it for Mom. Yeah, get in there. Oh, figure it out, Mom. Mom's coming to the movies. I might get agitated because there's a black guy on screen playing a character that's traditionally white.
Traditionally a clown with makeup on.
Do you think after his mom jerks him off and he ejaculates, is he still eating that popcorn?
This guy, yes, he is.
It's just a little more shocking.
Just for the spite of it.
Lord, that's so disgusting. Well, for anyone who's left, what happens next in the movie?
It's our anniversary.
Yeah, we're having a little fun here.
Hey, take off your pants. We're talking about museums of sexes and numerous other things.
We haven't even got to the hunk of junkie yet. So he gets, there's a bunch of action scenes. Wesley Snipes sets his ass on fire, which is pretty dope.
Pretty great.
And the whole building blows up and Stallone thinks he's won the day. And then sure enough, whoops, all those 30 passengers were in the building. Stallone gets blamed for setting the building on fire, even though clearly he wouldn't have done that.
Also, but well, like, he's got the nickname of the Demolition Man.
His chief says, "I'm sick of this Demolition Man shit."
I got sick of people saying Demolition Man in this movie.
I got a count of five. Yeah, oh, five times they say Demolition Man.
It's five easy, though.
And five in like the first 15 minutes.
Is it five easy pieces?
No, it's not Jack Nicholson playing a piano on the back of a truck.
Yeah, put this chicken between your knees and... what's my line? Hey, Bob. So you're telling me I leave this chick in the bathroom, right? Oh, and then I could go on the road and start arm wrestling people. All right.
That's the genesis of Over the Top.
Oh, that makes sense.
I left the lady in the bathroom and I started arm wrestling my way to the greater United States. You could take the Super Mario Brothers, put Judge Dredd on there, keep the Rob Schneider, take away everything else.
That's Demolition Man.
It's like that chicken salad.
Already in the chicken salad.
So the sentence, of course, is you're going to be frozen for 70 years is the sentence.
And yeah, which is right down the road, apparently. And there's this guy, William Smithers, who's the what do you call it there? The warden or the under-warden at the time?
Unterwarden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's like, they're all doing the whole like, we're so sorry because we know you're a great cop, but get naked. We're going to freeze you.
Yeah, for bad policing.
Yeah.
70 years in the isotubes. This, by the way, this is... A lot of this is Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? We're freezing people in like tubs, and we have
Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone and Rob Schneider. But also we have a mega city because they call it San Angeles.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
So
yeah.
So it's like the entire western seaboard.
Mega City 2, which we don't see in the
Maybe. Is this in the same 2000 AD universe where Stallone and Schneider are having fun on the East Coast, but
so
they're also having fun on the West Coast?
It's kind of
like, what is it? It's like a city state, right, Chris?
Well, it's like three places that the great earthquake of 2010, which has dropped three times in this fucking movie, merged these three places together.
Yes,
and then they were just like, all right, it's one place.
Sure,
fuck it.
San Angeles? Yeah, whatever.
How about Los Francisco? No.
The freezing scene's kind of fun, right? It's iconic as far as Demolition Man goes.
As far as beautiful butts go.
Do you want to know how iconic and how beautiful the butt is?
Oh, what's that?
So when I was a kid...
I know where we're going.
I think I've told this on the air before, but it's important to this episode.
It's an anniversary show.
Sure, yeah. This is the clip part. Roll the clip where I tell the story again. No, when you went into the Myrtle Beach Planet Hollywood, which was shaped like a gigantic globe, which was hilarious.
Uh-huh.
It was, I mean, this town, it's fucking trash central. Because in the same parking lot, you had a giant globe, which was the Planet Hollywood. You had a massive pyramid, which was the Hard Rock Cafe.
Oh, Jesus.
And then you had a massive stadium-shaped building, which was the All-Star Cafe. All in the same fucking complex. So you had three places where you could go with your family to get subpar chicken wings.
You know what that's called now? Shantytown. Yeah. None of that's left.
So anyway, when you went into this Planet Hollywood, they had the prop of Stallone frozen in the thing above the lobby, and you could totally, you're like, you know, I'm waiting for my mozzarella stick. You see this dude taint?
Yo, dude. It have a dick?
You couldn't see.
Oh, it was like frosted at that point or whatever.
Well, it was a little frosted, but you could tell there was definite fucking butt cheeks just like right there.
Well, it's the same thing with this one. You can definitely clearly make out an asshole and a ball sack.
But you're making out a ball sack?
There was definitely a ball sack.
There is a little bit of a bump.
There's definitely a ball sack.
Really?
Yeah, there's a bump.
I got to go back.
We got to do a frame by frame.
But when you do the overhead shot of him like going, "Nah, don't drown me in lube."
yeah, it's a sticky substance.
He gets drowned in KY jelly.
He does.
Are you sure you weren't in the Museum of Sex?
Oh, man, I hope not.
But the
overall shot, you can't, like, you see him quickly, like, going down so nobody can see his dick.
Nobody's gonna see my dick. Hey.
But he just like
clear the room.
To do that though, he's unnaturally like folding himself. He looks like a cat laying down. He's like getting into a ball.
Why does he need to be naked? I don't like. You know what?
Get a pair of boxer briefs on.
Do you want wet clothes when you get out of this?
That's true.
Years?
Also, little advice: Maybe knock him out first.
Yeah.
Maybe just a
mild sedative, yes.
Dude, it's terrifying. I mean, the KY is filling up in this bathtub, and he's like, oh. Like, it's some of the best acting Stallone's ever done. He's terrified.
It'd be awesome if he farted in it.
Well, because he...
just like a frozen bubble?
Well, he's afraid because he's on the set of Devolution Man. The next day, it's like, Stallone dies in lube tub.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure it's Astroglide.
The weird thing is, what is this special? They need to tell me what this blue thing is.
That's like, what activates the freezing.
Quick freeze. Like, is it a dragon's tear? Like, where is this coming from?
Yeah, it's an ice dragon's tear. Oh, okay. It's found north of the wall.
Yeah, okay. That makes a whole lot of sense.
We got to go get those dragon tears so we can freeze these convicts. Jon Snow, get off your lazy ass and get out there and get me all the dragon tears. We're going to freeze this whole fucking city.
So Stallone goes, and then
well,
like
I don't know how you get him. Tell him a sad story.
I put on beaches. That always got me.
You know, get up to that dragon and just start cutting some onions in front of his face. Works for me when I'm making sauce.
I'll send you a bushel of onions from King's Landing.
Why did you play that song Christmas Shoes for him? It's around the holidays. A dragon, a little girl can't wear shoes or whatever happens.
Yeah, hey. What's the problem with that song? She's got fucked up feet.
I think her mom died or something, right?
What does that have to do with shoes?
That's maybe you know.
She took
the
shoes with her.
Yeah.
Oh man, she was buried with the shoes, huh? You got buried 6 foot deep with those Christmas shoes. I don't know what that song's about.
I don't know what that song's about either. I shouldn't have made that joke, but
I got four words for you. Celine Dion, greatest hits. Come on, dragon, get crying. Oh, it's gonna get sad. It's gonna get sad in here, man. You feel that dragon? You're gonna start crying in no time. I'm welling right up.
Why don't we see Wesley Snipes get frozen?
That's a good. I want to see that taint,
especially because. Well, oh yeah. But because in 1996, like at the beginning of this movie. I said that he's wearing like overalls, like later in the movie, he's got like denim overalls on. He looks like fucking Cousin Feech. But before that, he is dressed like Beetlejuice.
He kind of is.
Pants that he's got on, dude, these fucking MC Hammer Beetlejuice pants.
Yep.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's good.
Freeze him right in those pants and all.
And he's got like busted tires on his fucking shoulder. Like it's fucking really silly.
Wait, hold on, mom. Are you mom? Get the Demolition Man lube because Wesley Snipes is playing Beetlejuice. Are you fucking kidding me, mom? That role was originated by Michael Keaton, mom. He's one of our greatest white actors, mom. Get in here.
Our greatest white actors, Michael Keaton.
This is the problem with the internet is you can't hear them talk, and that would just delegitimize their opinions.
Absolutely, I wish. Yeah.
Because that's what they all sound like.
That's exactly what they all sound like.
So we cut to the future. It's 2032.
Andre Gregory is now the guy who
but
was.
But he's the same guy.
He's the same guy.
Like, and Andre Gregory? Andre Gregory. Yeah. Oh, come on.
Yeah, dude.
That's amazing. I missed
Smithers,
that.
Warden Smithers. Yeah. That was Andre Gregory, and I guess he must have given up trying to get Wallace Shawn like a role. I imagine like even the chief, like somebody, he probably really campaigned for him.
So, do you think this is a reference to that? Like he's the prison warden because of that one great line in My Dinner with Andre about New York being prison of the New World.
And, oh wow! Yeah,
anyway, watch My Dinner with Andre.
Yes, you should.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. So we got Sandy Bullock. We're introduced to Sandy Bullock. She's a cop in this movie who's obsessed with the, quote, vulgar 20th century.
Yeah. Let's get into it. So it's only let's discount.
They're not
we
wrong.
Know, we know,
they're not wrong.
We know, we know that 2016, you know, we're only 16 years away, so it's not that far. But it's even in 1993 when this movie came out, we're talking 30 years tops. Like,
that's what doesn't make any sense.
I know what the 70s was.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the biggest like flub of this movie is every character is like, Bob? 20th century? They're like, they're on fucking Star Trek.
To be fair, there was apparently, you know, the LA riots never ended.
Of course.
The city devoured itself. Then there was the big one. I guess everyone died. And these are like...
Including Stallone's wife.
And everyone in this is like the Christmas Shoes orphan, you know?
The impossible Christmas Shoes orphan.
And the 20th century is like this mythical place where their parents were alive and they had shoes.
But we also don't know what the deal is with the rest of the country, you know, or the world.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they're, I think there might be a cursed earth. And that's Mega
you know
City
what?
1.
If you ever needed reason for a fucking scroll,
yeah,
dude.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get and you know what? It can come after this prologue.
Yeah.
Like the prologue happens, he gets frozen. Demolition Man, the graphic comes up. By the way, these fucking opening credits look like 16-bit SNES garbage.
Yeah, yeah. It's a dumb font.
And then it's just scroll through some James Earl telling me how it is.
No, that's where you get your Wall of Shaw.
Oh, Wall of Shaw. Yes. Yes.
Okay, so after the great earthquake of 2010...
Inconceivable, right?
Well, how much longer can I milk that? Yay!
And Sandy's here, too.
So she loves the 20th century. She's sure. obsessed with it. I mean, the society is like a... You know, it's a ultra peaceful... There's no violence. There's no swearing. You can't do anything. Anything that's quote-unquote bad for you is against the
can't
law.
Drink, no drugs.
But can no, I just no, no table salt.
No table salt because it's bad for you. No caffeine because it's bad for you.
No sexual intercourse.
Can I just drive to Seattle and fuck? Like, how does that work? Like, what's going on in Seattle?
Can I just kill myself? How about that? Is that legal still? Because I would like to do that.
I think that's against the law.
Knock yourself out, Chris.
Yeah, I think so.
But I think that's a great question. They're like, can I drive to Seattle and fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just...
Blow rails? You know, sure. Everything, dude.
You come back with a cool t-shirt that says, I was blowing rails in Seattle.
Who's rails? Is this a guy you got?
That's my dealer.
That t-shirt has a picture of somebody like snorting it off of a laid down space needle.
Oh, yeah. I blew rails in the Emerald City.
So, very quickly, Wesley Snipes is released from prison, and you don't necessarily know why.
Right.
We'll get there. And he like knows all the passcodes. And the passcode, by the way, while this dangerous criminal is awakened and he's getting, I guess Andre Gregory is grilling him about like his crimes, he says the word teddy bear and all the things break open. And he's like, and then one of the guys is like, how'd you know the passcode? Well, it shouldn't be verbal and it shouldn't be fucking teddy bear.
Because who, like, oh, yo, like someone comes in one night, like, oh, Lenny, it's your daughter's birthday. What'd you get her as a present? Oh, I got her a teddy bear. Oh, fuck!
Oh, we're all dead.
Yeah.
All of Arkham is out now.
Yeah, because you said teddy bear.
Oh, yeah, you know that teddy. It's a real bear.
We see Sandy's office space that she's got, and it's like decked out with...
And you're speaking of Sandra Bullock, the actress.
Sandra Bullock, of course.
Oscar winner.
Is that a fact?
Mm-hmm.
All right, the blind side.
The blind side.
Yeah, who saw that coming? Man, I was fucking blindsided by that win.
Yup.
And her name is Huxley, after all, dude.
Oh, I didn't get that, Chris.
You didn't get that?
My brain fell out before I watched the movie.
Oh, man, you got to pick that up.
Dust it off. Yeah, so she's like got all these trinkets. She's like working at the cafe from Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
The cafe 80s, basically. But awesome details. She's got a sweet Lethal Weapon 3 poster in her office.
Nice.
And the chief at the beginning of the movie, who like basically deems Stallone gets arrested, is the fucking captain from the Lethal Weapon movies.
Oh. Look at that.
Yeah.
Nice little connection.
Little synergy.
I think that's like that's got to be like a Joel Silver connection.
I imagine something. I mean, but also, I think one of the writers might have also had something to do with the Lethal Weapon.
These writers.
But also in that very same office is a poster of Blood Sugar Sex Magik.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Is that a fact?
That is a fact.
Wow.
The cover is like so
but they can't listen.
She's
to
real
that,
rowdy. What? She's a real rowdy lady.
Are we sure we're not in the Museum of Sex?
We're gonna get there. We're gonna get to the Museum of Violence first.
Yes. Oh, okay. Right. The Hall of Violence.
So yeah, I mean, he comes out. He cuts out Andre Gregory's eye to use a retinal scan, which is pretty cool. He's got a little pen there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. Some nice like gore effects in this movie.
And then like a murder death kill is reported by the police. And
why would you call it that? That's one of those stupid future things that we're just. We're doing to make it sound futuristic.
But it's just super redundant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Murder, death, kills. And they don't... And again, this is like... They don't know what it is. And someone was murdered. Figure it out.
People always get murdered. I don't care what... You know, what's... Especially if sex is outlawed. People are getting murdered.
Oh, God. You don't even... that this is even a civilization at all.
Yeah.
Well, that's ridiculous.
They have something where it's like... I think Benjamin Bratt, who's one of the cops in the movie, says like... It's been 15 years since any
murder has been reported.
Like what did he say? An unnatural death.
Wow.
And I'm like, no way, man. No one's fallen off a ladder, you know? No one fucking drowns in the tub. Like, come on.
Did they outlaw hammers and rocks and fucking, like, box cutters as well?
Wow.
No, they're all just underground with Dennis Leary.
Sounds like you're going to have quite a time killing yourself later.
Oh, yeah.
Hammers, rocks,
or no, I could just get into a bathtub and take the stupid electric billy club and fucking zap myself.
Oh, totally. Wow, yeah, like you're telling me none of these police officers have fucking committed suicide by eating that baton in the tub? Come on, man.
That actually sounds like a great way to die.
Does it?
Yeah.
That's not an instant death.
Think about, well, the toaster trick. Everyone knows, everyone's tried the toaster
trick. Well, we all call the toaster trick, yeah.
It's important that you call it a trick, by the way.
It's also known as killing yourself.
Think about how inelegant that is.
Yeah.
You know? Because
there's like crumbs in the tub after.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to go to the nether realm with fucking crumbs. And then you got a cable. I want a wireless death.
Oh, I like that idea. Yeah, right? Dude. Bluetooth suicide or bust.
Exactly. Although Bill Murray did, so it's a little classier.
Well, you got to get like the nice pajamas.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
go to a nice B&B.
Yeah. Puxatawny. Go there.
So Simon Phoenix goes out. He uses a console and he starts to hear Nigel Hawthorne of all people.
Who?
Or is it Nathan? Who's it?
No, it's
Nigel Hawthorne. Nigel Hawthorne.
Nigel Ferengi or whatever that fucking British guy's name is.
It's Nigel Hawthorne.
No, I'm talking about the Brexit.
Nigel Farage.
Right. Yeah. Okay, man, that fucking turd.
He might be a Ferengi, though.
I think he is a Ferengi.
That guy looks like if the most current Doctor Who's face started fucking melting in an acid-ridden fart cloud.
I'm leaning more towards Ferengi.
Me. Me. Islam is going to kill us. Me.
That's how he sounds.
I need all these octagonal coins or Islam's going to kill us.
I'm like, oh, what, Nigel, what fucking part of England are you from, buddy?
I think this movie takes place after Cal's exit or whatever. Those fucking these crazy Californians talking about.
Oh, they seceded. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah. I guess we'll move there if that happens, but it's not going to happen.
Pardon me, I'm chewing an ice cube. That's very rude.
Chewing an ice cube,
Yeah, I was chewing an ice cube.
But, like, he gets it, and all of a sudden, he's got these computer skills.
And, man, this is fake using a computer.
Forget
which is,
about
I
it.
Hate the shit in movies.
He's just like, dip, 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 dip,
yeah,
dip, dip,
he's,
dip.
He's hacking this system. Mm-hmm. And it's just, when an actor, it's kind of the same thing as, like, badly fake playing a piano.
Yeah.
Like,
dip, dip,
dip, dip, dip. Well, in his defense, computers were pretty new. And he probably never used one before.
Wesley Snipes didn't use a computer?
He didn't have Tax Act online, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he did not download TurboTax.
No QuickBooks for that guy. But it's 93. Like, come on.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
true.
No one's really using computers yet besides us.
So he dispatches a bunch of cops. He blows up a cop car. They're like, well, we got to free Sylvester Stallone. The movie's called Demolition Man, guys.
We got to get the Demolition Man. So then we also have, like, the older Zach Lamb, formerly played by Grandel Bush, now played by Bill Cobbs, who, of course, you know from The Bodyguard.
Oh, yeah. He's great in that movie.
He's also in The Color of Money.
So
he's been around in everything.
He's like, you know, you guys don't remember the old days, and there's only one man that could bring down Simon Phoenix, and who wouldn't you guess? It's the Demolition Man.
Well, it's the only fucking, you know, cop we had frozen 30 years ago.
And you know, this one time, he, like, bungeed out of my helicopter. I really thought it was a bad idea, but he seemed gung-ho.
And he was so dedicated. He jumped out of my helicopter yelling Phoenix all the way down.
You know what? That's making me think. Okay, so it's how many years in the future is this?
70-ish.
70 years. So he's been working in this police
department. I'm sorry, 40 years. I'm sorry.
His sentence is 70
That's
years.
Right. Yes.
Oh, right, right, right. And he gets sprung early.
But no, to your point, he's
like, why isn't he retired yet?
Yeah, it's the whole like, well, they got me behind a desk finally. I was like, you're fucking 70 years old, sir. You would not be pushing anything.
And he's not the chief either, which is bullshit.
Well, the thing is, they got you. Maybe he has to. Maybe he has to keep working because they got rid of Social Security.
Oh, right. No, like we will in about 2 months' time.
Yeah. Turns out that whole voucher system didn't work and he needed to figure out health care somehow.
Also, it turns out in this society, you do nothing all day.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a cop in this, like, what, you're getting cats out of trees?
Why? That's a great
question.
But cats
are probably illegal at this point because people are allergic to them.
That's right. Cats are bad for you. But what? That's a great question, Chris Cabin. Why are there so many police officers?
I guess just in case.
There should be two guys watching a TV monitor.
You know, because it's the one form of, excuse me, it's the one form of socialism and societal welfare that won't get protested. Like, oh, wait. Oh, people work for the IRS? Oh, really? You know what I mean? That's the tone of this country.
Yeah, and that's the tone of this movie too. It's like you know what's going to save this country? And a play by his own rules, overly violent LAPD officer. Okay, 1993. Well, sure, that's what we need right now.
He was great in the LA riots.
He did a great job.
He did a fantastic job in the LA riots. And you know what? Had we not frozen him, he would have definitely pinned down O.J. Simpson a lot fucking faster. Actually, in this alternate timeline, do you think the O.J. Simpson murder is still happening?
That's a good question.
Wow, that's a great question.
And, you know, where is Mark Furman?
I think Mark Furman. I think the Demolition Man was modeled after Mark Furman.
Or maybe the guy, it's not.
I think the Demolition Man, it's the same as Mark Furman, just with 100% less using the N-word.
Right. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
They changed the names because they didn't want to get sued by Mark Furman because it's so similar to
I was going to say.
Is copyrighted the N-word?
The warden from Shawshank Redemption, who is the captain in this, he could be Mark Furman just aged.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right. That would have been great if there was this, like, he had a name tag like Furman.
Commandant Furman or whatever it is.
Commandant. Man, the best part, not the best part, but one of the greatest parts of that FX O.J. Simpson show is the end stinger of the one episode of Stephen Pasquale as Mark Furman, the Demolition Man, staring and drooling at Nazi plates in a glass hutch. Yeah. That's the funniest fucking thing you'll ever see.
Yeah, it's a weird show.
It's funny how most of our heads of state now do that.
It's not
weird.
All they're doing.
It's weird.
Pulling some
weird.
Pud as well.
Weird. Pulling some pud as well.
Weird wild pud.
Oh, so also just to round out the office.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, we can't forget.
We got
We'd
Jim
be remiss.
And Pam. Jim and Pam. You got to talk. If you're talking about the office, you got to talk about Jim and Pam.
Or about Rob Schneider, who's sitting in this movie. I think he literally sits the entire time.
He does.
It's funny. I've seen this movie a bunch, but I hadn't seen it in a number of years. I remembered Rob Schneider being in it a lot more.
Me too,
Thank God he's only in it for
he's
two
a
scenes.
Speck in this one. It was bad enough in Judge Dredd.
He's a speck in everything, so that's fine.
I think it's kind of acceptable here, because Judge Dredd was too far.
Yeah,
it's like this is very sparingly
a little spice.
And, you know, he's playing that nerdy dork. So, you know.
But he's also condescending as shit to Stallone when he finds out about the three seashells, which we're going to have to talk about.
Oh, and I think we can do that right now. Chris, take it away.
So Stallone's back.
Sure. He's in his uniform. He's getting ready.
His wife is dead. His daughter is missing or something.
And now it's just like they got
abducted by aliens.
They choose not to look her up.
Yeah.
But she was. They did cut out a whole section of this movie. Yeah, there was a whole like 20 minutes of footage of him knowing his daughter. And,
dude,
like,
I think I think the neighborhood kids stole my copy of the Tribune this morning. I didn't have any of this on my doorstep.
No, it's true though. Yeah, apparently she's down with Dennis Leary, like hanging out.
No,
and there's a shot of like him saving a girl that's in the movie proper.
That's the daughter.
That's just
that's
the daughter.
Supposed to be the
what
dog.
The flying fuck?
This movie was cut to ribbons, and we'll get to one of the greatest cinematic deleted scenes of all time.
Unbelievable.
Oh, so, but yeah. Also on the Tribune, did anybody see Stallone explaining why, what he thinks the three seashells are?
Wait, he's writing on the Tribune?
He had an interview where he explained what he thinks.
I'm glad you're bringing this up, because ever since I was a child and I watched this movie 1,000 times, I've always wanted how I clean shit out of my ass.
You're going to be really disappointed.
So let's set it up. He goes to the bathroom. He comes out. And everyone's like, he's like, where's the fucking toilet paper? And Rob Schneider's like, he didn't see the three seashells?
Well, actually, in the 20th, they used wadded paper.
So I mean, Stallone's like, I don't know what to
do.
But apparently, Stallone, this is how he explained it, and it's
the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
All right, yes,
I know.
Give it to me.
So you're supposed to take two of them, and when you see these things, it doesn't look like you take them off.
Yeah,
you're supposed to touch
very
something.
Small what? Seashells.
Yeah.
You rub your ass.
So you're supposed to take the two of them, and I don't even know how to explain it. You would push out like half the turd and then take two seashells.
You're clipping the turd?
Pull it out.
Like chopsticks.
And then take a third one to wipe and scoop the shit out of your ass.
No way, Stallone.
Talk about the curse of the black pearl.
How long have you been sitting on that?
Just a second.
But nice.
The shit smell on your hands. 4 days. Good luck getting that off.
Wadded paper.
Well,
cleaning
you
your ass.
It would be like a beam, like a pleasant, like
yeah.
I just thought it was like a bidet, and you touch the fucking seashells, and it happened. Yeah.
Because here's a great question: if you're chopsticking it, like Stallone is saying,
cleaning my ass.
Oh man, he's just playing the piano and taking a shit in his pants.
Yeah, could you get a glass table over this toilet?
That's where the seashells are.
But like, if you're doing it the way he's presupposing you do it,
sure.
Are you sharing seashells with the next person? How many shells are we going through?
Or is it self cleaning or something? Also, are they look like they're hard metal? That's a problem for me.
Yeah.
And I mean hard metal, just a seashell.
But no, they're like
metallic. Are they metallic?
Yeah, they're not actual seashells.
Oh, see, maybe therein lies the problem.
But also, you're cleaning up these fucking seashells every time you take a shit, and you have to put them in the fucking sink.
Not to mention, the only food you're eating is Taco Bell. My God, the only food you're eating is Taco Bell.
Maybe that's why you can use the three seashells, though, because everybody just has fucking diarrhea.
That's a fair point.
You might as well just use a fucking clasp.
So you only need one seashell, then, I guess.
Totally.
They have to be self-cleaning. No way is everyone required to wash
them. Or actually, wait, maybe that's a job in this timeline, is you get all the seashells, you throw them out in the parking lot, and then an old man with a metal detector comes along like it's the beach, and he starts sifting through it.
But the dead ceiling. Fire the seashell cleaners. So he comes out. He's like, "What was so funny about the seashells?" They all laugh at him, and then like there's this other running gag. Wherever you curse, paper comes out, and you get a ticket for like 5 credits or whatever.
It's one
moral
one
security
credit?
Cow.
Yeah, it's, one credit for whatever. It's like what
vulgar morality.
They don't have money though, so like who
where are these
gives
credits?
A shit?
But the thing is. So he has this whole scene where he comes out, he's like, oh, Simon Phoenix, seashells. And then he's like, I got an idea. You duck fucking something or other. And he does this whole thing. He gets all these credits. Then he goes to the bathroom to clean his ass. So he comes out with a shitty fucking ass. Oh,
yep.
And he's just smelling up there like, oh, my God.
Oh, God, I gotta know what the seashells are for sure. Hey, oh, fuck.
By the way, he's been
frozen for 40 years.
Yes.
What is coming out of there?
Well, that's exactly
you
right.
You know he had pasta carbonara before he went in because like it's his last meal.
Last meal, tortellini, big sausages.
No. It wasn't like he knew it was his last meal. That was just his Olive Garden dinner he ate before he went on shift. He got thrown right to that ice box.
That's true.
But also, this is those are tight pants.
Those are tight pants.
He's still looking pretty small. Like, he's not like Stallone juicing yet in this movie.
Not Stallone and Stein like he is sometimes.
Stallone and Stein.
Ooh, you got him.
But also, if the world has changed so much and the fucking air is cleaner or whatever the fuck, like, wouldn't there be maybe a possibility that that would just kill everybody? They smell his shit and they just die.
They all just get wiped out.
There's some disease in his asshole that got unleashed when he was on drugs.
I like this theory. It's then the second half of the movie is like Contagion or something. Yes.
Jude Law is a blogger talking about Stallone's fucking fecal matter.
Dude, I love it. That whole room just drops dead.
Roger Padactor, who's in this movie, starts throwing up all over the place.
Man, you want to watch that dude throw up, by the way. I bet that would make me throw up. Watching Roger Padactor fucking hurl chunks with that high and tight haircut he's had for 70 years.
He's great.
That guy came out of the womb with that haircut.
I think we're at the Hall of Violence.
We are. So
yeah. He's like, I guarantee you, if there is a gun in this world, that's where Phoenix is going.
And everyone laughs at him, like, but he'd have to get it in a museum.
That's also where he is. And that's where sex lives now.
But here's the thing. If you're creating a society where you're trying to suppress violence, why would you have a Hall of Violence?
That's an impressive arsenal.
That's like having a gay sex film course in Liberty University. It doesn't make any goddamn sense. You're trying to suppress and pretend this thing doesn't exist. You don't want to teach and show people what it is.
Dude, I got a great idea.
Okay.
All right, we will go to Liberty University's campus.
Okay.
With a bunch of flyers.
And we'll have gay sex with all of them. Yeah.
We'll have gay sex with the flyers. No. We go with a thing that's like at the student union, whatever, this night, we're playing Cruisin'. Put that up all over the campus.
But they might like that, though, because it plays into that narrative of evil gay villain.
Yeah, that's true. All right,
they could read it wrong. I'm pretty sure they could read it wrong.
So like 6 degrees of separation.
Just get some fucking good old-fashioned gay pornography. Yeah, find a good old-fashioned tube and go for it.
The lawnmower man can dig it out of the external hard drive.
I'm just saying that's a good prank.
It is a good prank. Well, yeah, you know, you say you're playing Toy Story 2, and everyone's like, oh, that's a fun movie kind of about
Jesus. That's the
better
prank,
And then it's Weekend.
Weekend. Not a dry eye in the house, I guarantee it.
That would change them.
What's the cabin? What's the movie where we're having a bunch of gay sex by the lake and someone gets murdered?
Stranger by the Lake.
Yeah, play that movie.
Or Short Bus. That would really fucking wake them up.
Wake them right up.
No one's waking up at Liberty University, that's for sure.
And to your point, it's very stupid to have a Hall of Violence. But here's the more stupid thing.
Okay, please.
If you want to have a whole thing of all the guns, okay, I can see some kind of historic, like, from an engineering standpoint.
I know where you're going with this.
Why would you have any ammunition?
Yeah. That's a great
question. Why the fuck would you have any ammunition functioning? Just leave it alone.
Remove the firing clip or something. Like, make sure that they could never be used.
It makes no sense. And he clearly, apparently, it's a fucking stockade back there.
Yeah.
Because he wages war on this city.
Body count of this movie, by the way, in top line of the Tribune, 72. That's a good body count. That's what I want in a Stallone movie, 72 people dead.
It's pretty good. Like, the way he breaks to get the guns is by throwing some dude through the glass.
That's pretty awesome because he's trying to Wesley Snipes karate kick the window and it's not happening. And he goes up to the dude and he's like, how much do you weigh? And he just like picks this guy up and throws him.
It's the second lanky white guy he fucking eviscerates in such a fashion. There's that one guy who's using the computer terminal and he fucking sidekicks that dude out of the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's great. I love it.
So Stallone, then they have their fight and they're just shooting guns at each other and they're not going to hit each other, sure.
This is around the time where one of the dumbest lines in cinema history happens because like...
Wait, now we didn't mention what's your boggle.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
That's what the guy says before he's thrown.
Yeah, he's like, excuse me, sir, what's your boggle? And he's like, I got my boggle, and like picks him up and kills him.
It's so good.
What's your boggle?
I love
that's
it.
That's fucking
great,
stupid.
There's some other great expressions.
What's your pop-o-matic trouble?
Be well. Also
oh, be
stupid.
Well everywhere. I'm very
fucking
stupid.
Oh, the contactless high five I hate that Benjamin Bratt and Rob Schneider have where they do like a, it's a high five, but they don't meet, and then they kind of like...
Yeah,
window
they wave
wipe each other. Yeah.
Oh, it's
well,
fucking
well,
stupid.
Well, Steve, why don't you enhance your calm?
Oh, man.
Well,
you
why
know,
does everyone talk like a stupid baby robot in this movie? Can we just stop?
You know what? You know what? That's where we're going. Everyone wants to be nice to each other.
That's what this movie is. It's like a critique against liberalism. Like, hey, you hide all the guns, then all you need is one bad guy with a gun. Then there's no good guy with a gun. You got to get a good guy with a gun to get him, right?
That's special guest tonight, Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood loves this movie.
Clint He's Eastwood actually, feels like he woke up in the set of Demolition Man.
I can't believe it. 30 years ago, I was drinking with an ape. Hey, you fucking dirty Korean, what's your boggle? Oh, your food's good, though. I'll kill you anyway.
We actually have an empty chair right now in the room.
There literally is an empty chair.
It represents Clint Eastwood.
Yes. He's always with us.
Never and forget.
I'm glad that you brought up Koreans. Because
well, I try whenever I can.
Well, because one of the more racist things in this movie is when Wesley Snipes enters this museum.
Oh, right.
And does the, like, ching, ching, chong thing.
It's not worth repeating out loud, but yeah, he does a little bit of something.
Apropos of nothing, though. He's standing by a car.
He sees a family. It's a family.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's an Asian family. He's passing by him, and he decides to do it.
What a fucking asshole.
He's a bad guy. What are you going to do? He's a villain. He's a villain through and through.
Boys will be boys.
He's throwing people through windows. He's not a nice guy, Chris.
So they're driving. Stallone, Benjamin Bratt, and Sandy are driving to this museum. Mm-hmm. I'm backing up a little bit here, I realize, because one of the things we have to mention also, in this fucking dumb society, and this makes no sense whatsoever, music is like outlawed, and all they listen to is commercial jingles.
Sure.
The Jolly Green Giants.
Man, and the Oscar Mayer hot dogs.
Armored hot dogs.
Oh, yeah, armor hot dogs.
From The Simpsons, mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, it's from the 60s.
It's from the 60s. I know it from this. I never ate an armored hot dog in my life.
But they actually didn't come up on our list of hot dog rankings a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. We can't go back into hot dogs. We'll be here all night.
No. It's one of those stupid gags where it's like, so what are you trying to say? Like music... Music's getting so commercial that we might as well just listen to commercials.
Nobody likes rock and roll no more because the liberals took over.
I think that's it. I think it's like we rejected the Nuge.
Because no rock musician's ever a liberal.
What's Ted Nugent's nickname? The Nuge?
Stupid asshole.
Yeah,
we rejected stupid asshole, and suddenly that's all. You know, we're less masculine.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
To the point of.
Listening. Singing about hot dogs.
Exactly.
Well, also, and that goes back
to... Or listening to podcasts about hot dogs.
And that goes back to the language again, where, like, when he's at the... Phoenix is at the terminal, like, the thing comes up and says, we hope you're full of joy feelings and, like, all this other horse shit. And, like, and then they have to call everybody who makes an infraction a maniac.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, approach the maniac.
Oh, that's
tell the
weird.
Maniac to leave.
I missed that detail.
I love this detail when the cops first approach Simon Phoenix and they say like you know, and now add or else.
Yes.
Like if it doesn't work the first time.
Oh,
tell
yeah,
the
they're
maniac
getting like
lay down on the ground with his hands behind his back. Add or else.
He's just throwing people like footballs in this movie. It's great. Like everybody's just getting chucked by Wesley Snipes.
Well, so it's a weird like thing that's never entirely explained, and we can just get into it because it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Most of this movie is just shootouts. But like, so he's been brought back by someone on the inside, mm-hmm. the guy who's like engineered this whole
Nigel
thing.
Hawthorne.
And so the whole thing is like, when you're under this like stasis, when you're frozen, they rehab you with like, you know, brain programs or whatever. But so his program has been like super fighting weapons and tactics and whatever. But somehow he's also been like, made super strong. I mean, he is just throwing people like one arm hucking people into the sun.
And he has this like constant droning thing. Don't you have someone to kill? Mr. Friendly. Edgar Friendly.
Yeah, Edgar Friendly must die. It's just like that Star Trek episode.
I love it.
Edith, what's her name?
Edith Piaf.
No, not Edith Piaf. Although I've been walking around for years saying Edith Piaf must die. And
oh, really?
But then it turned out that, you know, she's been dead for years.
For quite some time.
Yeah. Now, that you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
the city on the edge of forever, whatever
right,
it's called.
They go across the street and it's a big problem.
Right. Yeah. She doesn't get hit by a truck, so...
It was...
So, like, President Trump happens.
Right. Well, Thanksgiving, BBC America was doing a Star Trek marathon, and I turned it on, and it was that episode, man. That's one of my faves.
That's great, a great episode.
TOS. Anyway, that just had nothing to do with anything.
So he runs into Nigel Hawthorne and his assistant, Glenn Shadix.
Otho.
And basically, like, he realizes what he has to do. He has to go kill Dennis Leary. He is sort of saved by... Wesley Snipes cannot kill Nigel Hawthorne, so
right. Been programmed not to shoot.
So when he runs away and Demolition Man comes after him, he's like, "Oh, thank you for saving me, Demolition Man. Might I invite you to a grand dinner to Taco Bell this evening?"
Now I think we have to get into. I think this is a Berenstain situation.
I watched this last night. I bought a used DVD from a used DVD store that. Must have emanated from outside of the U.S. district.
That is scary stuff.
Can you believe, dude, other countries are making DVDs?
I don't like it.
And I'm watching it, and I've
shut it down.
Did you hear about these regions? These regions on your DVD player?
Regions we got on DVD players are weak. We're going to get rid of them. Everything is region one. If you're doing standard def, if you're talking 1080p Blu-ray, it's only region A. Region B can fucking suck it.
4 more years. Yeah. 4 more years. So, but I'm watching. I've seen this movie a million times.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for the Taco Bell bit because the whole bit is like there's a whole thing. There's a war between.
The franchise wars.
Franchise wars, and the only food anyone eats is Taco Bell. Sure.
Listen, there are, as far as Andrew Jupin is concerned, worse future predictions for food.
I'd be fine with it.
But also, like, they were talking about prequels for this movie being about Phoenix and Spartan, John Spartan, Stallone's name. Why not have the prequel be about these franchises?
I really need
to know about this.
See it. You know how you could do it, though, real easily these days? A Zack Snyder motion comic? Get a fucking DVD of that?
I just have this...
gritty Ronald McDonald?
I have this image of Ronald McDonald just walking over the dead. Like, bloody hands.
But then he gets taken out.
Yes.
Because he doesn't survive.
By the Burger King.
And then he gets taken out.
By the Bell?
Yeah,
it would have to. The dog would have to come back. The Chihuahua.
Wendy is just fucking biting throats out. Wendy fucking pulls Grimace's intestines out of his asshole.
But now, did we say what your version had?
Before we get into it, it's on my mind right now, and I'm sorry to keep stalling. But did you hear about this? You hear about this?
No.
Today, the creator of the Big Mac passed away.
Oh yes, no! Wow, yeah. Good riddance.
The biggest shock is it's 2016, and how has that dude not been dead for 30 years?
You think he's eating Big Macs, dude? You think he's eaten a Big Mac since 1979?
Yes, I do.
All right.
At 97 years old or whatever.
Because you're getting a free fucking sandwich at any outlet. You pull out the card, and it's like, I invented the Big Mac. Free Big Mac, please.
But he made those to sell the rubes.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
He was like, oh, I wouldn't touch it.
But also, I guess I was confused because I just assumed that Ray Kroc invented the Big Mac.
Oh, you got to watch that boring movie. You'll find that right out.
Oh, the
Founder.
Yeah.
The Founder. Is that ever coming out?
It's coming out. Yes, it is soon, very soon.
It's being released eventually.
I'll stay tuned to not care.
This month or January.
But it stars America's greatest
white actor. Yeah, absolutely. Our favorite white actor. So he, but in mind, so I'm like, oh, here comes the Taco Bell bit. He's like, come to me to Pizza Hut. And I'm like, what? And my fiance never saw it. I was like, that's all right. That's all right. Don't listen to that. That's not right.
But that's insane, though, because right there, Steve Zadek is thinking like his entire existence has been a lie. And or like, he's in a different part of the multiverse.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe they said that once. Maybe I forgot the one line. And then they say, let's go to Taco Bell instead. But
maybe
then, like,
Pizza Hut was too full. Let's go to Taco Bell.
They drive around to different
fucking There's no tables at Pizza Hut.
But no, and then there's, and you can totally see it because then, whatchamacallit, Sylvester Stallone's like, why does this guy want to take me to Pizza Hut? And it's like such awful ADR. And I'm like, oh my God, everyone. And it's just a franchise war thing. And I'm like, oh my God, no, Taco Bell won the franchise wars, not Pizza Hut.
No, I changed it when I became president because I did a commercial for Pizza Hut, and they were a fantastic organization. They got cheese in the crust, and Taco Bell. Did you know this, Chris? Chris Cabin?
Yes, did you president-elect.
Did you know that their tacos are from another country? And that if
what?
If Hillary run the election, there'd be Taco Bells in every corner.
I love that that was an argument, by the way. You're going to have taco trucks everywhere. I fucking wish there were taco trucks.
Exactly. At that moment, I put Celebrate Good Times on my fucking computer just because, like, yeah, bring them on.
Oh, I'd be dead because I'd be going corner to corner. Yeah, I'll get another one. Yeah, I'll get another one.
Oh,
I'd never get to work.
Oh, you got salted pork on this one, huh?
Oh, my God. I'm sorry to interrupt you again, but you're Chris Cabin.
Yes.
You know, I usually masturbate to my daughter, Bianca.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, naturally.
But I rarely have I seen a total babe like Chris Cabin.
Well, I mean, I do appreciate that, President-elect.
I sit up at the penthouse in Trump Tower. That's where I live. And I pound my stupid little orange pud to the face of that total babe cub, Chris Cabin. I am edging all night. And then I go on Twitter. And I edge some more.
I'm glad that you found your fetish. And it's me?
Edging a Chris Cabin.
So they are just at this Taco Bell, everyone, or maybe puts it's on a Pizza Hut.
Well, in my version, everyone's saying, basically, I think in England, because Taco Bell wasn't everywhere, they had an alternate version wherein they just put in Pizza Hut because that traveled better all over the world. Apparently, Pizza Hut's at the four corners. You can get Pizza Hut in Antarctica, I guess. Penguins are eating fucking Pizza Hut in Antarctica.
Taco Bell isn't in the UK. That was the big thing, is that there's no market. I mean, their biggest other market at the time was the UK.
So, there's digital replaced logos for the most part of Pizza Hut. It's fucking strange,
but
man.
They miss a few.
They do miss a few. Yeah, I've seen it. I caught that. So they're eating this Taco Bell. It doesn't even look like Taco Bell, really. No one's eating chalupas.
No, it's just, well, first of all, this is before we started serving chalupas at Taco Bell.
That was pre-Gordita.
Like, yeah, I mean, those were like 2000s.
Dark
I mean, we had to elect Bush 2 before that stuff happened. No, we're talking about like your soft taco supreme, your chili cheese burrito.
Hey, Poppy! You can put two tacos on top of each other and separate them by hot beans! It's a pretty good idea.
Now, you gotta deep fry that thing, and then you'll really have yourself a meal there.
Hey, Poppy, you know they make Mountain Dew in all sorts of colors now, right? They got a Mexican one called Baja. It's blue.
Oh, no, it's 9/11. Code red. Code red.
Let me tell you something. I've drank my fucking body mass in Code Red Mountain Dew.
The fact that I do not have diabetes yet is a failure to the Mountain Dew Corporation and Code Red.
I would, if it ever, like, I must be immune to it because I would have contracted it by now and it would have been type Mountain Dew diabetes.
You have Code Red diabetes. You would. There's so much sugar in that thing.
Dude, I would have fucking Baja Blast diaries. Jesus Christ.
So they're eating, and Stallone, this guy's name is Dr. Cocteau, and he runs Los Angeles and apparently has no influence anywhere else in the world for some reason. And he's like, he's trying to make Los Angeles a better place, and he's like expounding upon the cryogenic freezing process, and apparently Stallone was awake the whole time, which wouldn't that just make you crazy? Like, wouldn't you wake up and be a babbling idiot because you can't move?
He's bullshitting. He just wants to, like, be a big man.
Hey, Shandy, watch me freak out this square. I was awake the whole time. I made up all this stuff about my wife coming and pounding on the glass like a fish tank. She didn't visit.
Oh, man, my wife came. She's crazy. She was pounding on the glass. But then she remembered what I liked. And then she got on top of my ice cube and defecated onto it.
Gonna tell you the truth. Gonna tell you the truth here. Cock hurt the whole time.
I went cock toe. I went in a little hard. It was really bad.
That's got to be a thing, right? They were probably like, all right, dude, like, you know, what's his name? John Hammer?
John Spartan.
Oh, John Spartan, sorry.
Spartan, because they all have the stupid, like, this is what I am.
Yeah.
I like John Hammer. That's, maybe that's a brother of Mike Hammer, detective.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So, like, they're like, all right, you know, Spartan, get in that bathroom, because you got to evacuate everything can you imagine you got a fucking dump brewing, and then you get in this ice cube for 70 years?
And then you kill all of Los Francisco,
whatever it's called.
So, I mean, whatever. This is broken up because Dennis Leary's gang, who's just a gang, your classic...
a gang of rat kings.
Your classic gang of utopian underdwellers. We've seen them 1,000 times. They're called Scraps in this universe.
They should be called Chuds. Or they should the Scraps should team up with the Chuds.
Come on, Chuds, let's go.
Once we get down there, it kind of looks like the Monster Market from Hellboy 2.
It does, a little bit.
Or any of Super Mario Brothers.
It looks a lot like Super Mario Brothers as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
a lot of greats.
We're coming up to my favorite scene in any movie ever, which is so there's like a fight, and like Stallone impresses Sandra Bullock a little bit because he beats up these Scraps. He learns that, oh my God, they're just fighting for food, and that's so sad. And then Sandy Bullock's like, hey, man, you want to come back to my place for a bit? Sandra Bullock, by the way, is really good in this movie. She's like,
she's very good.
She's the only
movie.
One that understands what this movie's about and how to make the jokes she's supposed to make funny.
Disagree. I told you this earlier. No, I agree that Sandy's in on it, but also that I think Benjamin Bratt is in the same boat.
Yeah, he is. Yes. They're both actors. They're not fucking.
Right.
I mean, Wesley Snipes is good in this movie, but he's on 11 the whole time. He can't really do it.
Well, he has to be.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing Black Joker.
Also, speaking of.
Not my Joker, hashtag not my Joker.
Speaking of not actors,
no, you dare talk about Roger Pataki right
I'm
now.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the first instance of Dan Cortez.
Oh, right.
At the piano singing, not singing, ADRing Jolly Green Giant.
Oh, man, that is fucking
like
stupid.
Like a lounge singer, so like doing a Richard Cheese a bit.
What, you forget about me, babe? Oh, Dan Cortez.
Step off, George. Just step off.
Yeah, George, step off.
The Jolly Green Giant. Hey, thanks for coming out.
Sandy's like, hey, come back to my place. And I'm like, all right, it's 1993. Who knows what's going to happen?
Sure. It's a real now we're talking situation.
And she's like, well, of course, you know, there are studies about like violence and sexual desire and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
She's like, I'm going to go slip into something more comfortable. Why don't you sit down? And Stone's like, all right, what kind of table you got here? Which is a four-poster? Yeah. That's not going to do it.
Listen, we're going to need to move those magazines off of there. I want no coasters on this.
You can keep your car keys. That's pretty exotic.
Wait. Is this? Oh, God. Redwood? I'm out. I'm going to have to leave. Sorry, Sandy. Sorry, Oxley.
We have to discuss the fact that he's trying to have sex with a baby.
Well, that's
she
also true.
Is
yeah.
a baby.
Well, she's not even a baby. What she's
well, like he's
70 years older.
Because
and she's like not even born yet.
Well, what are you talking about?
Well, she's
the age difference
is extreme.
But also, he's not 70. I mean, he's on paper.
When was he born?
He's 70.
There you go.
He got frozen in dragon tears, Eric. There are different rules for this man.
It's not like she's fucking the grandpa from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No, here's what the twist should be. He never looked up his daughter.
Oh, no.
And then in the end.
Oh, wow.
Dude,
oh,
he was fucking his daughter, dude.
That's a twist I can stand by.
But the proposition is baby talk as well. She's like, I would. Would you like to have sex?
Yeah.
But they're all stupid like that, though.
Yeah, she's just doing her bit.
They're stupid like babies. She's technically a baby. This is bizarre.
So she comes back out, and she's wearing like a kimono. She hands Stallone this like jewelry box, and he's like, what is this for? Is this like a dog collar or what?
Are you going to put this on top of the table or what?
Does this thing unfold into a table? No.
Rotating ass beads. What are we talking about here, Miss Bullock?
D- Do I take a dump inside the helmet? Is the
But he puts on this little, like, it looks like a little, I don't know, like a wireless headset.
It's like a Tron helmet almost,
it's
actually.
It's a complete ripoff of a really not well-known sci-fi movie called Brainstorm with Christopher Walken.
Oh,
and they have the
it.
Exact same, like, helmets.
Oh, oh really?
Almost
oh,
exactly.
Isn't that directed by, what was that guy's name? Douglas Trumbull.
I don't
He directed
I no
Silent
idea.
Running.
Oh.
He did special effects for 2001.
Oh,
Trumbull?
Yes. Douglas Trumbull? Yes.
I know the guy that you, yeah.
I think it's him. But let's carry on with your weird VR sex you were talking about.
So,
well, the greatest detail, first of all, is they're going to have this sexual intercourse. And not only does she hand him this helmet, she gives him a towel.
Yeah, you know what that's for. So yep. Because
fucking the cleanup crew.
She sits out across. She sits across from him, and she closes her eyes, and she starts making sort of sexy noises. And he's like, "Well, am I just supposed to?" Oh, he closes his eyes, and then he sees like it's like Star Fox sex, where it's she, you don't.
Hey, Andros, bend over, and I'll show you.
Beepy doo babu.
Your father fucked me like that too, Fox.
Boy, yo, 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 yo.
Oh, welcome to my.
It kind of looks like if you fast forward through a, like an experimental Kenneth Anger film.
Yeah,
like,
yes, well, totally.
Colored lights. Well,
I thought it was Star Fox, though. Chris.
Okay, okay.
But like, why is it like
that? Would actually be a great additive. Someone put that on YouTube where it's like Scorpio Rising and Shed showed in these.
Why is it just her face though? Like theoretically,
because she wanted to be an she wasn't going to do like Skinemax kind of.
No,
movies.
And I'm not saying she has to. You sure. Get a body double.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
you know,
but like to your point,
this is a hard R, violent, profane movie. I need a there's her boobers.
you're gonna get it in 5
there's
minutes.
There's a random
there's a random boobers.
But
don't
so
worry
the
about
idea
it.
Is like he pulls it and says, "What the fuck is this? Why am I not fucking you?" And she's like, "Well, because you know, sex is outlawed." And like we don't do fluid swap or anything like
fluid
that.
Fluid transfer or whatever the fuck.
And by the way, apparently in this utopian society, it's like first there was AIDS, then there was this, and then there's that. I'm like, it's been 30 years. We've gone way past AIDS already.
And it's just like there was GTA,
BTO, and the USDT happened.
There's Blue Oyster Cult that was there for a while.
Fucking NWA,
ELO.
ILM.
But yeah, this is a situation where like I honestly think if he fucked her, she would explode. Like Lois Lane getting fucked by Superman.
Again, it's just Ooh, stuff Kevin coming Smith out. Quote. Like the stuff coming out. Who yeah. knows where he's been?
Wait, yeah. What his stuff? His
because
stuff
yeah,
like,
because like
his pipes are all weird. It's gonna come out yeah. cold, you
No,
think?
Because every
No, I think it means it's weaponized from all the STDs he got.
Because, well, to Chris's point, like everyone in this universe, yeah, this time true. Is so clean. Healthy and germ-free and clean and whatever. Yeah. You got this fucking scuzzbag dude from 1996. God help you.
Named the Demolition Man? Yeah, like, dude, come on.
You see these
That's
people,
like going back in time and sneezing on a dinosaur, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, you see these people walking around the streets of the city now. They got the medical masks on because they don't want the germs. Think about that, but with your dick.
Hey, can I sneeze on your dinosaur?
Can I sneeze on your table?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, you're, what, 60 years younger than me?
He says, like, oh, come on, Huxley, that's great. You don't do the horizontal mambo, the hunka-chunka?
Man, the hunka-chunka. One is hilarious. Two could be a great Ben and Jerry's flavor.
He also starts with just plain old boning.
Yeah, you know, Stallone starts with what Stallone knows best.
You think when he has sex, it sounds like, hunka-chunka, 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 hunka-chunka,
hunka-chunka,
hunka-chunka, hunka-chunka.
Ends with him hunking chunks. He's hunking chunks up. He's puking. He pukes on her.
No,
he's into
it's
puke
vomit
fetish.
Sex. Yeah.
I fuck so hard I puke. Happens to me more often than that's why I call it the hunka chunka.
Once alone, no cups.
Oh, man.
I couldn't find a cup to puke in.
Fuck yeah, I'd watch that 50 times.
But that's what's gross. The grossest thing about this scene is because, like, you got Sandy Bullock and she's like into it with the helmet on. Yeah. But then you got Stallone and he's like, and he's like licking his lips, like,
He almost gets there and he doesn't. He stops.
He's edging.
He does actually.
In 2032, we're still edging.
Thank God.
So she like.
It's the one thing they can't take away from us. Right?
She kicks him out, and much
because he tries to kiss her.
Yeah, she's like, ew, that's gross. We're gonna do fluid transfer. He's like, we'll figure that out.
Which is so stupid because it's like, hey, by the way, you can't get AIDS from kissing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, you should know that 2032. Yeah.
Oh, maybe you could get fucking BTO or ILM or ELO or any of these exactly. other ones from kissing though. That's
got a
actually
fucking outbreak of Dolby Digital.
He goes,
I got a fucking meme case of Atmos.
So because Martin Cinemax was watching the screen, he got his Oscar screener a month in advance.
Mm-hmm. Well, Demolition Man, that sounds wonderful. Sounds like an exciting sexual movie. A hard R. I know what this movie's going to have. All right. Oh, what the fuck is this? What the fuck? Why am I not seeing her tits? Get him on. Get
outlawed.
Outlawed. Sly.
So he's like, on his speed dial, by the way.
If you want one 1045 slot on Cinemax, I'm going to fix this movie.
I would say the number 3 speed dial on Martin Cinemax's phone, I think, is probably still on.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Number 1 is definitely Van Damme.
Talk about weird sex stuff.
So he gets this little tiny DVD or tiny CD that a tiny laser disc really of security footage. He's gonna put it on. He's like, can't believe I couldn't even have sex with that bro.
How is he not going home to jerk off?
The question.
Maybe he did that in the self-driving car on the way home. Anybody see what happened to that towel?
Well, no, he's right down the hall from her. They're in the same complex.
Oh, are they sharing a dorm?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So. He puts this on, and he gets vid-phoned by this nude babe, and she's like, oh, hi, Martin. Oh, sorry, wrong number. And I'm like,
so
first of all, it's a sexless society. Who are you? Like, or maybe phone sex is huge.
But she's not doing it to be sexy. That's what's so stupid is she's just like, because she's got a towel, and it's like, she's just like getting out of the shower, and she's calling somebody to make it. But like, in the world of vid-phones, like... You better pray that that's a fucking private vid phone. What if it was Martin's boardroom?
And I mean, wrong numbers are pretty, like, it happens, but, sure, like, it's rare. Pretty rare, right? Yeah. Like, what are the odds?
And listen, Stallone, I'm going to give you a reel. I have a couple of reels of wrong numbers. I just in case there's a sci-fi movie that needs it. I have them playing in my house on a big screen 24/7. I love a good wrong number. A good sexy wrong number. Just a bunch of naked women saying sorry.
Oh, man. Can the Lawnmower Man find me that?
Oh, it's out there, man. The truth is out there. I mean, he discovers that in this tape that Cocteau is in on it. And oh, my God, he talks to Wesley Snipes. He harasses him at his boardroom the next day.
Which is great. That's a scene where, like, he's just shooting wildly. Like, somehow, I think he stole an active gun from the Museum of Violence.
Which has got to be a freezable offense, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's going back in the fucking Arctic mist, man.
Is that a Mountain Dew flavor?
So he realizes he's going after Edgar Friendly, so he takes a crew down to the depths. It's Benjamin Bratt and Sandra Bullock, obviously. And they kind of make up, and he's like, hey, sorry about the hunk of chunk of last. Sorry about jerking off on your door after you kicked me out. I mean, that was a pretty aggressive move, but you got to admit, 70 years.
She's like, oh, that was you?
It was Be Well.
So 20th century.
The sick 20th century move.
And we can't miss, at the same time, this is so, they're going down to get Edgar Friendly while Phoenix is Dr. Cocteau. And he's like, I'm going to need a whole team of vigilantes.
Oh, right.
To back me up on this.
And who does he unfreeze first? But deleted scenes, Jesse Ventura, who is in the opening credits, but does not have a single line of dialogue in this movie.
This is criminal. This is outright fucking criminal.
He has like three grunts. I want to say
he like
maybe
laughs a bunch.
Yeah,
which I hate that shit. Let him say something.
And like apparently, like there was a big fight scene between Stallone and Ventura, and it got cut.
Of all the things that had to get cut,
I'm so excited. We watched this video. It's a WCW interview with Ventura,
conducted by Eric Bischoff,
obviously, for something called Manly Movies. By the way,
ooh, that's nice.
And Ventura is just like, oh, I'm so excited to be with Sly Stallone. I was like, when I got on set, I was like, let me at that Italian stallion. It's been 10 years in the making.
I was like, what? So, like, 83? What was going on?
Was he, like, cut from a Rocky? All right, Stallone. I know after you fight Clubber Lang, then I show up in Rocky 3 in the four-hour cut of Rocky 3.
Little-known Hollywood fact, I was supposed to play Thunderlips.
Yup, I was supposed to be in Demolition Man, pretty big part, but I got into a pretty mad feud with one Robert Schneider. And unfortunately, Sly took sides.
I gave him a noogie. He did not enjoy it. You know what? To this day, he'll deny it, but I was the inspiration for the making copies bit. You know, I had that Suburban Commando role just locked up, and that dirty motherfucker Hogan came in and took it from me. You, nobody knows this, but I actually wrote the original screen treatment for Mr. Nanny. Another one where the rug got pulled out of old Jesse Ventura.
Yup, it was supposed to be Mr. Butler.
Stallone fucked me out of that, too. I can't believe it. I was supposed to play Estelle Getty's role in Stopper My Mom Would Shoot. Taking the bread right out of my mouth, Stallone.
I was also supposed to play her part in The Golden Girls.
Rose, sit down, Rose. See, I tested so well. Back in Sicily, we used to have a saying.
Stallone said I could maybe audition for that role in Creed of the homeless man on the corner. But Ryan Coogler, he just shot me right down.
He's a nice guy, though.
Nice guy.
Yeah, but I got beef with Coogler big time. He promised me a role in Black Panther, and that phone ain't been ringing.
I got the whole Marvel movie franchise. I was supposed to play Captain America. It was going to be skinny Chris Evans, and he gets pumped full of a lot of shit, and then he's a 60-year-old beefcake.
So he's sort of barely in this movie. Like,
which
he's
sucks.
He's a featured extra.
I mean, for people like us, losers, who see Jesse Ventura in a movie, you're like, here it comes. Mm-hmm. Drop that hammer, Ventura. And he's just like,
yeah.
Gone.
He gets all these, like, Simon Phoenix gets all these prostitutes out of nowhere. Where did these prostitutes come from?
Oh, they were also unfrozen. Okay.
That's a lot of work.
But getting back to Jesse Ventura, because that's all this podcast is.
Sure.
He was also basically cut out of Batman and Robin.
He was.
There was this weird trend in the 90s where we didn't want him.
Which is, that's a shame.
It's a damn
shame. Has anyone watched that show with him and Larry King?
No.
Is it a sitcom?
No, it's him,
yup,
Larry King.
Yup, it's me and Larry. It's a situation comedy.
It's him, Larry King, and
we
like...
We run a bagel shop on Fairfax.
And we take down all the squares.
It's him, Larry King, and some other conservative guy. And like, Larry King is a liberal. The conservative guy is conservative. And Jesse's kind of in the crazy middle, I guess. And
they wild do like card. Talking. Back in Minnesota, they call that a wild card.
It just really stands for fucking crazy.
I voted for Jill Stein twice.
There's your voter fraud. Yup, discovered my own voter fraud.
I was going to go for that Gary Johnson, but then he did that tongue thing, and that just grossed me right out.
You got to know what Aleppo is. Listen, I might be an idiot, but you got to know what Aleppo is.
You know, that was a goddamn shame. I got cut out of Gary Johnson's campaign. I was his VP pick.
Oh, my God, I would have voted for him.
Oh, guaranteed. Oh,
at least I would have had fun on that election day, that's for sure.
One vote for Abraxas. Thank you.
The country's in the toilet. That's fine.
Speaking of ridiculous presidents, well, besides Ventura and Trump and whatnot, but apparently Schwarzenegger was the was president in this in Demolition Man.
Because we get mention of the
61st Amendment.
Which is amazing.
How many?
What are they? I want that list. Needs to be a Tribune thing where, like, it comes up on a computer screen and some fucking nerd paused it and, like, you know, wrote down every single one of them. That's a lot of amendments.
That's a lot of amendments. I mean, again, like, what does the rest of the world look like? I need that.
It's got to be just all burned out.
So they go down. Stallone has a rat hamburger, which looks pretty good.
I was getting hungry.
He seems to be enjoying it.
And somehow we're still making beer down here.
Yeah, I know. Look, we're bottling beer down there.
He's got a fucking ice cold Caroni right there, man. I couldn't believe it.
And like everyone's like, ew, you talked to that Mexican lady. And the weird thing about this movie is like, so Zach Lamb is up there and Benjamin Bratt, but everybody else is white up top. But downstairs, it's much more racially diverse, but they don't talk about it.
We're going to build a wall. It's called a road. And they're going to anyone who's not white or a member of the Ku Klux Klan is going to live under that road.
The mole people. We are going to create the mole people.
I promise you, on day one, the Chuds are getting out of Manhattan. I'm going to burn him alive. It's going to be fabulous.
You should tune in. I'm going to do it from Trump Tower. And we'll make, aired on CNN.
We will make the Ninja Turtles pay for that road.
So Dennis Leary is doing the classic case of like when you hire a stand-up comedian to be in a movie or TV show all they can do is regurgitate their stand-up. For reference,
he does a tight five, right?
He does a tight five, dude. I was going to say, for reference, see TV Land's The Jim Gaffigan Show.
Yeah.
Listen, I love Jim Gaffigan.
Sure.
I don't need to see his fucking stand-up comedy transcribed into a sitcom.
Sure.
That show is unwatchable. And this is just him like, yeah, I like to be down here. I like to read books. I like to smoke cigarettes a mile a minute. I like to eat a bunch of ham and a bunch of raw steak. I love smoking.
You know what I like? I would like to eat a hamburger, a big fucking cheeseburger, and I would like to have the American flag stuck in it. And then I would like to read a Playboy and jerk off while I do it.
He's able to do this because they froze Bill Hicks a couple of years earlier.
Oh, yeah. Hicks got frozen.
And he raided his house and just got all his notebooks. And was like, yeah, here we go. That's a career.
So,
won't be needing these anymore, dead man.
So there's a big shootout as always. I mean, we're getting towards the end of the movie here, right? Like
it's just the last half hour of this movie is about four different shootouts.
Yes, and Ventura doesn't even get a death. At this point, there's a big shootout, and then like they all kind of retreat back, and Friendly's still alive, and like. Cocktail's like, didn't you kill Edgar Friendly? I can't believe that I had to unfreeze 12 professional wrestlers to kill Dennis Leary. I mean, what the fuck kind of deal is this anyway? You've been fined one credit.
You've been fined one credit for failing to assassinate the maker of Comics Come Home.
So Snipes can't kill him, but Jesse Ventura, his number two, blows him away.
And then picks him up and throws him in a fire.
And they're all just cackling. It's pretty great.
And this guy is just cooking. It's awesome.
And Otho's like, oh, I'll work with you now because I'm just this guy. It's fine.
Associate Bob.
The last act of this movie is a car chase, sort of.
There's a car chase to the cryo chamber where we're trying to unfreeze more fucking people or something. Mm-hmm. This is where Wesley Snipes has some line. He's looking up like who's in there. He's like, ooh, Jeffrey Dahmer. I like that dude's style or whatever. I was like, no, you don't. Dude.
You're a different kind of criminal. You're not killing small men and eating them.
Yeah, I haven't seen you eat one person.
Yeah,
please.
Show me your fridge. Show me one dick in that fridge, dude.
I would love it if they do unfreeze Jeffrey. Well, by the way, the funny thing is Jeffrey Dahmer had died by the time this movie... came out.
Oh, what a fucking flub.
It's a tragedy. Oh. The nation wept when Jeffrey Dahmer died. I think by the time it went on home video, it was like weirdly anachronistic. And I think there are other versions where Dahmer is cut out.
Where it's replaced with Pizza Hut.
Oh, wow. Pizza Hut.
My favorite serial killer, Pizza Hut. I like Pizza style. Hut's probably killed more people than Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, without easily. A doubt.
Man, Jeremy Renner as Pizza Hut?
That would be amazing.
Oh, man. There's that, you know, that guy that killed all those people in Wisconsin. Pizza Hut. He made all those sex zombies. Pizza Hut.
He cut their dicks off and he put them in jars and put them in their fridge.
Yes.
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut. He worked in a chocolate factory.
Man, Pizza Hut worked in a chocolate factory.
Oh, I can't wait for that new movie coming out, Pizza Hut and Me. That's a great about Pizza Hut in high school.
You watched that documentary, dude, The Pizza Hut Files.
You could sure stuff a crust.
Oh, Lord.
But so they're all fighting, and there's a lot of rope swinging going on. I would love it if Jeff Dahmer comes out and bites Stallone's neck.
Oh, and then he turns into a zombie?
I work for Phoenix now. I'm going to get him for you.
Oh, hey there, Phoenix. I'm so happy to be working for you.
Played by Steve Buscemi.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah, that's what you want.
Just get some growing green in it. But also, we get our second Dan Cortez here.
What? What?
There's a second Dan Cortez.
You get double Cortez,
wait,
dude.
Wait. Two different roles?
Yeah, a totally different role. He's one of the scientists when they're like unfreezing everybody. He's out in front. When he's like, all right, sir, we're almost done, and you're definitely not going to kill us, so hey, job well done, hey? And then he blows them all away. All
right, here's my rider for this movie. I want my trailer to have no less than 3 NARC arcade games. I want nothing but Taco Bell, and I want Dan Cortez to play not one, but 2 roles.
I mean, you guys watch MTV, right? Dan Cortez... Mark my words, in this year of our Lord, 1992, when we're making this movie, Dan Cortez will go on to be a legend in television history.
He might win an Oscar before I do. We'll see. We'll see. It's going to be a real foot race.
He'd already won an Oscar by this point.
Oh, that's right. Well, acting.
Oh, yeah. You're saying the writing.
Yeah.
Everyone else is gone. But Dan Cortez is still here.
I'm all up on that wall, but Dan Cortez is right here.
Whatever. He freezes Simon Phoenix and kicks his head off. It's a real cool death.
Which is awesome. And death. I think, isn't
he
there...
used the dragon tear. Like he's about,
yes.
Phoenix is about to cut his head off or something. And Stallone hits him with a dragon tear and he freezes right up.
Isn't that a callback to like the opening scene of the movie he's got something about like I want to knock your head off or something like?
Is it cold in here?
No. At the beginning of the movie, there's some line.
He's
of,
like, oh, I don't know where I put those passengers. You know, if my head wasn't attached, it would fall right off.
That's what it is. Yeah, you're totally right. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
So, and it's like wink.
When it hits
Pizza Hut.
When it hits the ground and it just shatters, you see all the red spots.
Oh, it's so cool. It's a Mortal Kombat death.
It is.
It's classic. Cool.
It's pretty good. It's a good death, you know, honestly. And what I do appreciate about this movie is it's finally like so many times it's like Sylvester Stallone versus Bob Balaban. You know what I mean?
Like,
oh, he's the mastermind. You know what I mean? Like at the end, he's just like, I'm going to show you what's what, Balaban. Like, at least it's a fitting fight, you know?
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
Bob Balaban.
I would love to see it, though, right?
You want
to
know it? I know a personal nickname for Bob Balaban.
Oh, yeah?
This is a weird thing. I was at a screening for New York Film Festival this year, and I was sitting next to somebody of note that I will not drop, but...
She was jerking off in the movie. Yeah.
Yes, she was jerking off.
Fred Willard. Fred Willard was sitting next
to
her. No,
it was
Manchester
me.
By the sea.
It was me. I was at the premiere.
No, but so this woman was talking to a friend of hers, and she's talking about Bob Balaban, and she's like, something. I called him on the phone, and I said, "Balbs, you gotta come over here."
Balbs,
and
I was "Balbs, wow." I need to be on a Balbs basis with Bob Balaban.
Yeah. I fucking love Bob Balaban.
Of course, he's the best.
I would love to be on a Balbs basis with Bob Balaban.
I would kiss his feet.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Balbs, if you're listening, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, Balbs, but if I can call you Balbs just once.
What was it with the 90s and decapitating villains in action movies?
That's a good point.
Yeah, this is, I'm taller, hey. Yeah, he makes shit on your frozen body.
He makes
body.
No quip, which no. is fine.
But this movie's full of quips, though.
That's actually true. Also, the thing of the gag, the running gag of Sandy Bullock,
right.
like getting expressions wrong.
Yeah.
Like she means to say things like, I'm going to kick his ass. She says, I'm going to lick his ass.
Well, no, he says, she's like, oh, you're going to go lick his ass. And I have to think about Stallone licking Wesley Snipes' ass.
Hey, that's all right.
I'm all right. It got me halfway
one
there.
I always remember is take this job and shovel it.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, that's, I'm laughing.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I'm going to go blow him instead yeah. of I'm going to blow him away.
Yeah,
and the gag is then
away.
Like,
you
that's
got,
the thing.
You got to blow this guy away.
The gag is Stallone him. Then like corrects her every single, blow him away. Take this job and shove it.
I'm not going to lick his ass. I'm going to kick his ass. Maybe I'll lick his ass. I don't know. If that ass is on top of a table, I will lick it.
Speaking of licking ass, we haven't really gotten into what happens at the end here with the political climate of city-state.
Right.
So apparently now it's going to be Edgar Friendly survives.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
he's
going to
help
Leary.
Rebuild the civilization, I guess, with the chief of police. So it's like a... It's sort of like a military coup in a way.
Well,
but then they're actually going to work with Edgar Friendly, so that's...
But it's sort of like, something. It's the exact same ending as Judge Dredd, where they're like,
yeah.
Hey, Sylvester Stallone, what do we do? And he's like, you're going to work together. We're going to move forward.
I got a table to shit on.
Well, I'm not... It's the same thing, though. It's like, I'm not going to help out with it. But here's what I think you should do.
Well, he's like, all right, you guys got to get a little dirtier, and you guys got to get a little cleaner, and we'll get you a good space.
And it's like, what this fucking South Park horse shit? Not everybody's a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
There also hasn't been a murder in 20 years. Let's keep a lot of that, actually. Let's figure that shit out.
Yeah, totally. How can we not have
just
murders?
Take away the cursing machines. Honestly,
yeah,
that's a good start.
Number one on your list.
Get rid of the Pizza Hut, Taco Bells.
Bring toilet paper back into the fold. Yeah. Please, God.
Increase wrong numbers.
What is this at the bottom of this list? Increase wrong numbers. What does that mean?
Nothing. It doesn't trust mean nothing. Me.
Look, I don't want any job where I'm not able to beat the shit out of people on a regular basis.
Oh, well, actually, number one has to be fuck it. We're going back to fuck it, everybody.
We definitely are, because they're making out at the end of the movie to that fucking terrible Sting song.
Yikes.
I'm going to give you the L.I.M.
L.I.M.
Going to give you a fucking hard case of B.O.C., baby.
Some DMR for you.
I'm going to put some USA in you. Fucking chock full of
that's
EDM.
What he says every time he has sex, by the way. I'm gonna put a little
life.
USA in you.
A little USA all over this table.
That's because this movie was probably played on the USA Network
nonstop.
Oh, you know, but I still got those sweet checks from the USA Network. It's pretty good.
Buy myself a whole pack of bubblegum.
Obviously, on this anniversary show, this is a 4-star recommend, is it not?
Yeah, I've seen this movie 100 times. It's pretty... It's a little longer than it needs to be. It's almost 2 hours.
We're pushing it.
You know, it's like a little bit. I got kids here. I want to go to bed. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing, Demolition Man?
A clean 100 minutes would have done fine.
It's super fun. I mean, the violence is all over the place. And like I said, yeah, it's cool to watch two, like a good guy and a bad guy fight each other. You know what I mean? Like, let's get in there. Let's mix it up.
Let's get in there and do it. Yeah. You don't have to suffer too much Dennis Leary acting.
This is, you know, a lot of fun. I watched this... You know, again, 100 times. And
We got this from Columbia House, by the way.
Oh, really?
Oh,
wow,
yeah,
really?
This is a Columbia House pick. I had...
Wait, VHS?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh,
wow. It's beautiful.
This was on TV all the time.
It was.
I remember, but here's the thing. When I was, I think it was HBO or something, and it was like, I don't know, the movie had just come out. I missed it in the theater, and they started doing the promos for it coming to TV.
Right.
Like, over a year in advance, like August 95 or whatever. And they would play this all the... And I would watch TV non... I watched HBO nonstop. So I was always seeing it. And
yeah.
I was just like, one day... It felt like forever and a day. And eventually that day came.
You got there.
It was great.
And then I watched it 1,000 times.
I've actually only... This was only my, like,
maybe third time seeing
this. Wow. Wasn't a Chris Cabin what? Midnight special?
Oh, no,
really?
No.
Wow.
No, I was actually more like, when I think of Stallone, I was more of like Cobra. I've really? Watched Cobra a bunch.
You're
Cobra.
More of a Rhinestone man?
Well, of course, Rhinestone. I don't even think I've seen Rhinestone.
That's a trip. That's a stay tuned.
Cobra's kind of a great movie, too.
Cobra is great.
Isn't it Cobra where he's like taking down a cult? It's like a police cult or something?
He, like, the other guy is the head, like, he's like a religious leader, kind of.
That's
kind
of cool.
Yeah, no. You've never seen Cobra?
I've actually never seen Cobra.
Oh, you should check it out.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
This movie or Judge Dredd?
Oh, this movie.
Yeah, this movie, Demolition Man times 10.
Yeah.
It's better. Look, here's the only reason you need, dude. This movie has 97% less Rob Schneider.
That's also a really good point.
That's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I would probably go for Demolition Man as well.
So that is the end of our anniversary show. And at the end of every anniversary show.
Also the end of We Hate Movies. We have to announce that.
No, that's not true.
Gotcha.
No, we are continuing on into the next year. But a big thank you to everyone for following us over the years. Yes. And if you found us just now, thank you for continuing with us. We do the program because people listen to it. We wouldn't do it if nobody listened, because what's the point of that?
It's kind of weird to have people that you know for like 5 or 6 years that you've never met. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's that lady, or that dude, that guy. You know, they're commenting. Yeah. Like, these are cool people.
I love you guys.
There you go.
There you go. And that is Demolition Man, directed by Marco Brambilla. For more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Write into the mailbag, of course, wehatemovies@gmail.com. Going into next week, what do you got going on next week?
We're getting into the season next week.
Tis the season.
Oh, it's getting a little chilly outside.
Oh, is it?
I wouldn't want Jack Frost to bite my bottom.
That's we've already done Jack Frost.
Wait, no, but there's another movie that Jack Frost appears in.
But wait, there's another
the coldest figure of all, Tim Allen.
That is the Santa Claus 3 with Martin Short as Jack Frost. This movie is really unwatchable. So we'll be doing that next week, getting into the holiday season. Speaking of the holiday season, man, go to our website, whmpodcast.com. Click on that shop button. Takes you to our merch store. Mm-hmm. Pick up some holiday gifts, man.
Speaking of Jesse Ventura, we now have this great new designed Probably Secundus shirt.
Oh, yeah. Right, from our good buddy, Philippe Sobrero.
Right.
Great design. Check that out. There's, mugs, iPhone cases, laptop cases, all sorts of doodads and whatnot for people you care kind of less about. Go to the merch store and check that out. Go over to Etsy, Google search on Etsy. We Hate Movies. Buy some posters there.
And if you feel generous, it's the season of giving. We have a Patreon page where we're doing all this bonus content.
Sure.
Star Trek program called The Nexus. Animation Damnation.
Oh, all sorts of good stuff. Some commentaries, some sleaze.
Mm-hmm. We should have a commentary coming out very soon, actually. In addition to our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one that's already up there.
Yeah. Do we want to tease that next commentary?
Why not?
He's coming to take you. For the second time. Taken Tumentary.
So until next week, where we're talking about the Santa Claus 3, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy.
'90s was a really tough time for me. I just couldn't catch a break. They cast me as the third triplet in 90210. It was Brenda, Brandon, and then Bobby, and I was Bobby, and they cut me right out of that pilot.
I was actually one of the parents in Kids, and Larry Clark, he's a master filmmaker. A little weird for me. A little bit of a strange duck.
I was supposed to be Marcellus Wallace in Pulp Fiction. Figure out what went wrong with that.
I was supposed to be Kazam. I'm not going to bring it up anymore, but I was supposed to be Kazam. Love, Shaq. Great talent.
I was the third writer on Good Will Hunting, actually. They cut my best stuff. It was me and Ben and Matt just sitting down in Boston talking about stuff.
You know what really boils my ass? I was originally cast as propeller guy in Titanic. Got chopped right out of the movie.
Do the Right Thing is a great movie. Now, I'm not saying it's not a great movie, but I was supposed to be on that wall. It was a bunch of Italian actors and me, and they cut out the nod, and I was real bad about... I called up Spike that night, I'll tell you that much.
I was supposed to be Max Cherry and Jackie Brown until Pam Grier got cast as the titular Jackie Brown, and, well, let's just say she and I got problems.
I was actually supposed to be the hurricane in the hurricane. And that Denzel, he just stole that role right out from me.
Yep, and I also I screen tested for Travis Bickle, and I love Marty, does good work. I think it was Harvey Keitel that shafted.